Hello everybody and welcome to another review from Experience Kills. My name is Cameron. I'm bringing my favourite leader, Ben, from the dead.
From the dead? What? I died? I've got a cold. I'm not quite dead.
He's not quite dead yet. How are you doing, Ben?
I'm good. Other than the cold, pretty good.
Aww, poor baby. So today, I'm going to be bringing you a conversation about a rather enthusiastic game, I'll say. It's called Postscriptum, the 27th.
I like that we're having a conversation. That sounds incredibly civilized.
It's because I genuinely want to have a good conversation about this, because it's a World War II combat experience. That's what they're flagging it as. An authentic experience. And I've got mad respect for the armed forces.
Yeah.
And I will be forever, as everybody should be forever, grateful in the sacrifices made in World War II.
Yeah.
And in any battle, really. And it's a very touchy subject sometimes for some people, but I will always show respect to it. Postscriptum is based during Operation Market Garden. I don't know how well you know your World War II history, Ben.
Pretty good. Yeah, I know that one, especially as it was covered in depth in Band of Brothers. That helps.
I swear, the only thing you know about anything in history, as long as it's been on TV.
I am a true child of the late 20th, early 21st century. So yes, that's how that works.
Okay. That's pretty much how I learned as well. That's fine. So, for those in the younger years who may not have learned about World War II that much, Operation Market Garden was a huge military operation during World War II, where airborne divisions of British and American armies were all paradropped behind enemy lines into German territory, enabled to create
foothold.
I guess a good foothold, a good supply line into enemy territory, so that once they break through, it's a smooth movement to get, you know, from A to B. It was, I don't want to say failed, because we still won.
It didn't go smoothly, though.
It was not. It was a lot of lives were lost during Operation Market Garden. And the actual title of the game, the Bloody Seventh, was actually in reference to a specific day, which was Saturday the 23rd of September, in the called the Battle of Arnhem. And it was a very specific bridge that they were trying to hold, where they were grossly outnumbered by, Allied forces were grossly outnumbered by German forces. It was a horrific battle, and so many people were lost. You know, we managed to finally get everyone, you know, they either got out of there, they either got resupplied. And it was a horrific time. It's a very famous battle. A lot of films were actually dedicated to it at the time. A Bridge Too Far was actually based on this specific location. For those film buffs out there, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Can I ask you a question?
Ask away.
Why is it called the Bloody Seventh if it was September the 23rd?
Because it was day 7 of Operation Market Garden.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That, well, you didn't say that. I was a bit confused.
I am sorry.
I was like, where does 7 play into September the 23rd? I just couldn't work it out.
You thought it was September the 7th. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. So yes, it was on the 7th day of Operation Market Garden.
Right.
And so Postscriptum is set in this general, this area, so the 7th day, defending the bridge. Their goal is to aim for the whole game versus, obviously, German forces versus Allied forces, with different factions that you can play as, being the, you know, American Airborne or the British troops. And I've got to say, their levels of authenticity, I've actually been really enthusiastic, that's why I said I'm quite enthusiastic. Because a lot of things are true to life. So their uniforms, the actual scale of the actual the map, and the way it's all been recreated, weapons, vehicles, quite famous buildings in Arnhem, are all kind of like 3D scanned for the uniforms, so you get all the patterns done correctly, and like they've gone through a lot of archives and everything to make everything as authentic as they can. And it's been fantastic. Yeah, it's really nice to see. something being so faithfully done.
What kind of game is this?
It is a huge multiplayer PvP World War II game. They're boasting 40 versus 40 people. They're aiming for 50 versus 50. Now, while the kind of graphics isn't like as high powered, should we say, as like Battlefield 1, you know, or that sort of most recent gameplay, it's the authenticity that I've really picked up on, that I've really appreciated.
So, like, one-hit kills and stuff like that?
Very close, too. You'll need, like, med packs to survive and medics, rather than kind of just shake it off. In a lot of the gameplay that I managed to have a go on, I never really found a huge close quarters gameplay. As with all guns, obviously, they've got, you know, various ranges from the 100 up to, you know, 1,000 feet for a sniper rifle. There was just very little areas that were so close combat, like in the streets where everyone has a submachine gun and just turns around and blasts the next person around the corner. It is very tactical. Everyone in a specific squad, there's a whole field commander on the top of the food chain who can give out orders and everything as well. If everyone wants to actually listen to them, anyway.
It's more going down the kind of armor route rather than, say, yeah, like you mentioned, Battlefield route.
Yeah, I'd say that. Not necessarily in like the loadout and the kit sort of style of armor, but definitely it's a lot more tactical, a lot more realistic.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Are there different classes?
You have to get into the game relatively early to get a class you want. Is the only thing I found. If you don't manage to choose like a heavy gunner or a medic, you will be stuck with a very generic soldier-based, equipment with the very basic bolt-action rifle sort of thing.
Interesting. So each game there's like a limit to the amount of players that can be a heavy or be a medic. Trying to be realistic in that regard, I take it.
Yeah, because like I said, there's so many squads per level as well. Obviously, each squad will have a designated heavy machine gunner or a medic.
Mm.
So each. You know, not everyone can get what they want, but I still had quite a bit of fun enjoying it, though.
I understand that they're striving for realism there, but I mean, restricting player choice like that is a bold move, I think it's fair to say. Because, yeah, who doesn't want to be the heavy machine gunner, I guess? But the problem is, if the person that becomes the heavy machine gunner is A, not playing it properly, or B, an idiot, that class is going to be then wasted completely in your squad.
Yeah, there's going to be one person who's not laying down covering fire with a heavy machine gun because he's trying to sprint through a bush or a muddy pile or something. He's just not going to... He can't play like that in this sort of game. There's other bits as well, like you can actually work out logistics and supplies as well to kind of fortify your positions.
Wow.
Once there are vehicles in the game as well, you can actually kind of drive supply trucks onto the front lines. If guys are still alive and at the forefront of positions of attacking enemy strongholds, it's similar to kind of like Conquest on Battlefront, Battlefield or Battlefront. You know?
Yeah.
So there are key positions you have to keep taking from each other. So if there are guys up front and they're running low on ammo, if someone can get a supply truck through those lines, though, they can then rearm, resupply, and then push even further. You know. Same as like field guns as well, so you can start towing field guns as in heavy duty weapons that can take down things like tanks, you know, like heavy anti-armor guns.
So there are vehicles, there's vehicle combat in this.
There are some in there. I think I'm quite lucky to say I didn't manage to come across any tanks. I managed to drive one in our team, but I never came across one in vehicle combat because the size and scale of the map is incredible. It is so huge. I read somewhere that they totaled nearly 100 square kilometers of like playable area. I think that's through various maps. Having 100 square kilometers, I don't think anyone ever see each other.
No.
No, of course not.
Especially since it's only 50 on 50. I mean, obviously, in reality, there were a lot more troops than that in those areas. So.
Absolutely. It was, there were so many people died in this area. It was
It was a bloodbath, yeah. I mean, it was awful, yeah. Absolutely.
The buildings that got demolished as well was breathtaking as well. The bridge itself is—I mean, like the environment itself isn't like fully destructible or anything, you know. So like the bridge isn't going to come down anytime soon. But like, it's not like a like penetrable walls with like bullets or anything like that, you know. So it's not—it's not easy to take a town, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the question I wanted to ask you is, you know, the developers have made a big hoo-ha about realism. But it's so tricky because you have to balance realism against gameplay, and I just wonder, I mean, if you were really realistic about, you know, combat like this, you're going to get, if you get shot once in the leg, you're no longer mobile, right? If you get shot once in an arm, you're not using that arm. I mean, you get shot, you get sent shot once in your center mass, you're probably either, you know, going to bleed out, you're dead, but you're not going to be able to do anything, are you? I mean, you get shot anywhere in your chest or your gut. You're going down and you're staying down. So it's for all intents and purposes, you know, you're out.
It's not quite that realistic. You know?
I mean, but that's the problem I have with games like this, though, that then tout the realism as the selling point, but then aren't realistic. I have issue with that, because it's like, well, if you're going to compromise in gameplay, then maybe you should compromise a bit further until it's fun. Like, the whole idea of restricting subclass picking at the beginning of the game because it wouldn't be realistic for there to be more than one heavy machine gunner in a squad. Well, that's BS. I mean, that's artificial restriction for what? I mean, you're not being historically accurate across the board. So why? And you're obviously making compromises for gameplay in other areas. So why not continue to make compromises?
The whole restricting of you know, the classes system. I mean, I do understand how they've done that, because obviously in each squad, that, you know, there's a need for communication and teamwork, right? So everyone would have a specific role, you know. It's just a case of getting to select that role first, you know.
So
I mean, having an entire squad of heavy, you know trying to advance on the left flank sort of thing isn't going to happen, you know. Not everyone's just going to stand there firing full automatic this heavy weapon while it overheats sort of thing isn't going to, you know, actually help with the gameplay. No one's going to be able to get a bullet off them. You know, that won't be realistic.
No, absolutely. I mean, what's the restrictions on, like, running? How does that feel? Because, you know, sprinting, if you're talking about
there's no sprinting forever, if that's what you're going to ask me. There's no, like, you know, just press the button and, hey presto, he's ran, you know, 1,000 kilometers in a single breath. There are other obstacles in the area, in the way as well, which I actually found quite nifty. Things like going through relatively deep puddles or like bushes that you'd usually use for camouflage, or you can crawl around in, actually slow your movement down.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, you would do going through heavy grass. You can't sprint through that stuff without tripping over.
No, that makes sense. Yeah,
I can tell you from experience, you can't do that.
I mean, just skipping through the fields of wheat like Theresa May. I can see you doing it.
Oh yes, I giggle like her as well.
Giggle and rub your hands together as you destroy the country. And I mean, it's the reason I sort of. It's just that I think like talking about how accurate the representation of a uniform is, and then gamifying the core experience, which is the combat, it just feels like you can't have your you know, cake and eat it. You know, you need to sort of be more realistic in the way you're presenting the experience if you're making these compromises. I mean, I like the fact that it sounds to me like, you know, they're trying to balance things. You know, you were talking about the size of the area. It would not have been uncommon in World War II for a squad or a platoon or you know, a regiment to do a fast march across 5-10 miles prior to getting into a heavy engagement. Do you know what I mean? That would have happened almost daily, right? So, and that's not fun to play, though, is it? It's not fun to be walking for 10 miles or you know, jogging for 5 miles, because that's going to take you like 20 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours, 10 hours, whatever. But you don't want to play that, do you? So it's tricky. I understand it. And I mean,
also, in this day and age, though, of Euro Truck and Goat Simulator. Why isn't there a soldier marching simulator?
Okay. Right, we got our first customer here. It sounds like Cameron's well up for that one, guys, so if you're listening.
Guys, if I can have 10 hours of marching from France to Berlin in World War II uniform, singing World War II songs, and occasionally
singing
under fire.
You're not singing, you're combat ready. You're going to be... It's silent. You're listening for the enemy. Not singing. Jesus. Give away your position.
I have death wishes. Leave me alone.
You'll be the one that's left behind when they take a break. I'll not bring in Cameron.
I'll be the guy out front as bullet fodder. If you see me hit the floor, you know there's enemies about.
Private Cam is very special, but he's not the most reliable combat operator, sadly.
He's our special soldier.
I mean, at the end of the day, we've been talking about this a bit now and having this conversation as you wish to have. Is it fun? Are you having a good time? And is it early access or full release? So, I mean, it sounds to me like you're implying that they've got a lot more development planned and they're bringing in new content and stuff. And
yeah, they are. They're bringing in more and more by the look of things. There'll be more patches. They're looking to bring more weapons, more armored divisions coming in, I believe, as well. I did have fun with it. I think once I got more kind of out of my shell and I started actually tuning into the voiceover IP to actually converse with other players as well, and you started becoming more tactical. Because we weren't obviously I wasn't playing with any friends or anything like that, so it was just a case of talking to somebody online who knows where they're going, sort of thing, and just agreeing on a battle plan to defeat them, just a couple of randoms. I kind of got into it. I got into it and we started working quite tactically and I had a lot of fun playing it. And I do think it was, you know, they're getting there when it comes to making it a nice authentic to World War II.
So it is fully released, but they seem to be keenly supporting it and developing it. Ongoing, so looking at their information here and stuff.
Absolutely. I do
think it's funny on the Steam page that the 3D scanned uniforms is like the number one selling point for it. I'm glad you guys did the work. I mean, that is cool that is authentic, but at the same time, who's gonna know? I mean, I guess it depends on your audience. If they're trying to appeal to the most diehard World War II fan base, then in that case I guess that's something that does matter. I mean, you know, for the really sort of historically accurate kind of people that really care about that sort of thing. But I'm not sure if that's the same person that wants to play necessarily a fun World War II shooter. Why is it called Postscriptum?
Why do you have to ask me the questions I don't know the answers to?
Yeah, I've been looking at that title and I've been trying to work it out. I mean, postscript means, you know, PS. It's the thing you put at the end of something. It's like a footnote or an addendum.
A final thought.
Yeah.
I guess, that's kind of poignant then, isn't it? If it's postscript kind of being final thought, you know, thinking back to World War II and, you know, into the battle itself of the Bloody Seventh, you know, that... Is it a little on the nose to say that?
Oh, it's like their final thought about that conflict.
Yeah. You think that might be...
Are they trying to say they're going to have the last word on World War II games? Like they're going to be the most authentic experience possible? I mean,
no,
that's slightly arrogant
if
that's
the case. Good and authentic as this, okay?
I mean, maybe that's what they're getting at. That this is like the be all and end all for... realistic simulations of that conflict. And I mean, nobody else is really approaching it quite like that. I mean, obviously the new Battlefield went back to World War II, but it weirdly chooses a lot of conflicts that aren't the most well-known ones. And theaters,
and it's still a very fast-paced game that you can just kind of run and gun to.
I mean, it is and it isn't. I mean, the bigger scale maps, you do need to be more thoughtful, but you don't have to do a great deal of communication really to pull off victories and stuff. I like the idea that they, you know, this is forcing you or encouraging you to work closely with people on your team. That does remind me a lot of Armor and games like that. And it's trying to maybe be that kind of game for World War II in that simulation space.
Maybe.
That's cool, man. That's cool. It sounds interesting. I might check it out myself. Yeah,
absolutely. So yeah, that's my postscriptum on that one.
Your PS on the PS.
That's my PS on the PS. So yeah, thanks everybody for tuning into another game. I've been Cameron, and Benjamin, thank you again for joining me.
I come to be opinionated and annoying, mostly, yep.
And you succeed.
Thank you.
You can follow Ben on Twitter at DIYE, and you can follow me at Camelot at your own risk. You can also follow us at Experience Kills, and you can see us all on YouTube and Spotify, and oh, I keep forgetting the other ones, Ben.
iTunes, and we also have a basic RSS feed as well if you just want to listen in instead of watching these videos, which is a perfectly valid way, because to be honest, it's all about what we're talking about. You don't need to see the pretty pictures.
Yes, man. And if you liked all this stuff and you did like some of the content we're bringing you as well on YouTube, do give us a subscribe. We'd appreciate the clicks. We don't send all the adverts up or anything like that. It's just nice to have a click.
No Patreons to promote, nothing like that.
Well, to be honest, I've got a kid and a puppy now, so any extra money I can get.
So you want a Patreon, is what you're saying.
I'm going to start Patreon, okay. Yeah. If you guys subscribe, I will send you pictures of a cute baby and a puppy.
Possibly the puppy eating the baby? I mean, that could be interesting. Depends how much money they give you. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's either the puppy or the baby for the next 18 years. Maybe I should stick them in like a Mortal Kombat arena and see what happens. Oh, yes. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. And again, if there are any chaps out there who are subscribed and watching our content who is actually in the armed forces, I want to say thank you very much for your service.
Yeah, damn right. Yeah, well said. Nice. Good stuff.
Have a great day, guys. See you later.
Bye-bye.